Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to Heart-Centered Money Conversations. Very, very excited to be back here with you with my beautiful friend, Kristen, who's a financial coach here in Ontario. And today we're going to be diving into mastering your finances and breaking free from credit card debt. So if you're feeling overwhelmed with your credit card debt, if you feel like your credit card just has this grip over you and it's feeling a little bit heavy on you, and you're really wanting to start clearing that up so you can create a stronger financial future moving into 2024. If you're curious how credit cards actually work, and if you're interested in having a few strategies under your belt for you to effectively reduce that debt, then this is definitely going to be an episode for you. And I'm very excited to dive into this topic a little bit more. So if those are really calling to you, then please stick around right till the very end. And we have had some previous episodes, so I'm just going to touch quickly on what those episodes were so that if you haven't caught them and you're brand new to this channel, welcome. We've talked about the second episode, actually. The first one is an introduction episode, so if you want to catch that one. The second episode is all about strategies to stop living paycheck to paycheck so you can really begin moving your money around to more beneficial places so that it's really moving you forward toward where it is that you want to go. And the third episode that we did was all about how to maximize the capabilities of your tax-free savings account. So once again, this series is for Ontario-based. However, it can expand into Canada and beyond. So if you have any questions or anything like that, then feel free to just put in the comments below where you're coming from, and Kristen can support you with that. However, she is mainly based here in Ontario. And so then the last episode that we did was really understanding RRSPs, so registered retirement savings plans. I said that right, Kristen?
That's right. Yeah.
I was second guessing myself there. I'm like, registered retirement savings plans. Yes. So we really talked about that one last week and really understanding a little bit more about RRSPs, the value of them, so you can know whether that is a good account for you to put your money into, because there are so many different accounts, and really knowing and educating yourself on which ones are great for your specific circumstances will really help you to make those decisions that are best for your financial future. And so that is really our intention of this series, is really to help educate you on some of these financial concepts so that you can really feel empowered in your own decision-making and not putting your power into other people or other professionals to make decisions for you. And so that you can really start shifting and pivoting the way that you're moving through the world when it comes to your finances, so that you can start creating greater financial freedom for yourself. Because I know that we live in a day and age where there are so many opportunities available for us to really be able to make money and create the lives that we want. And it's really about breaking that kind of the taboo pieces around money, how money's bad, all of this stuff, where it's like, I really have this strong belief where it's like, the more good people that have more money, the more amazing changes that we can make in this world. So that's really what this is all about.
Totally.
So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Kristen. And today we're going to be diving, like I said, into breaking free from credit card debt. So thank you for being here with me, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this topic because I feel like it's one that so many people can relate to. Yeah. And with credit cards, there's a lot to know. We know how to use them, right? Pretty easy, but we don't necessarily know how to manage them, which is so important. Again, something that we probably should have been taught in school. So I wanted to start off with just talking about the good things about credit cards. So one is that having a credit card and paying it off regularly helps you build your credit. And to me, it seems kind of ironic that you need to have a credit card to build your credit, because it's something that can cause you to have bad credit as well if you don't use it properly. But that's just how our society is, unfortunately. So one good thing is, if you are managing your credit card well, you can build up your credit, which, you know, having a good credit score allows you to do different things like either getting maybe a line of credit if you're doing, like, say, renovations for a house, or getting a mortgage, or, you know, even if you're looking to rent an apartment, sometimes they look at your credit score. There's so many different reasons why you would want to have a good credit score. And that's one way you can do it, is just by paying off your credit card regularly and using that credit card. And there's different ways to make sure that you don't get trapped into that credit card cycle because I think a credit card can be a trap if we're not managing it well, like I mentioned. So you want to make sure that you're being able to manage your money properly and also managing your mindset. So what I mean is if you have habits that make sure that you're paying off your credit card regularly, or just using your credit card when you absolutely need it, a credit card can be no problem. It can be a really great thing to have as a tool in your tool belt. But if you're using your credit card as an emergency fund, that can be maybe the not best case scenario, right? So we talked in an earlier episode, like Laura mentioned, about your credit card shouldn't be your emergency fund. It's really important to spin both plates at a time, paying off debt and savings, because if you don't, then when an emergency comes up and you haven't been saving, you're gonna have to dip into your credit card instead of using money that you have. So something to just be really mindful of when you're looking at using a credit card is, do I have the discipline to make sure to pay it off every single month, or the discipline to just purchase the things that I really need, right? It's not like I have a credit card, I can go buy something that maybe I couldn't actually afford. Living within your means. And this is, pretty blunt and straightforward. I apologize, but I think it's really important to talk about this around credit cards because it's really easy for credit card debt to get out of hand. So another thing that I can recommend is if you are buying something online, is using a prepaid card or a debit Visa card. I know most banks in Canada have those now, which is really great because then that's money that you actually have. Because the reality is, like, if you're using your credit card and you don't actually have the money to pay it off, that's how we get trapped into that cycle. So I like to talk about credit cards too, in terms of like the mindset around it, because I know I'm guilty of, tapping my credit card and not really even looking to see what the balance of the transaction was, right? We just automatically do it. We're like, I was gonna buy that thing anyways. So there's no concern in terms of like, is this gonna get approved? You're just throwing it on the credit card. But if you actually looked at that balance, it helps you mentally process to see, okay, am I prepared to actually spend that amount? Because you pick up that item, you know how much it is. And that's one time of your mind saying, okay, I want to buy this item. But then when you're at the cash register and you're actually paying, it's another time for you to check in with yourself to say, yeah, I still want to buy this item, right? And another, this is total side note, but I just thought of it, is another good thing that you can do is if you are feeling kind of like overwhelmed around purchases, is if there's something you want to buy, wait a week before you actually buy it. Because then if you still want it after a week, then you're like, okay, great. I can do this. Or this is something I really want. It's not something that's unnecessary. Like, we are so bombarded with ads and things on Instagram, like Amazon finds and things like that. Right?
Yeah, that's a
So
good one,
I
Chris. I'm glad that you mentioned that
think
one, because we are like even on Instagram and now with the algorithms and stuff too, like it picks up what we're saying and then feeds us those specific things. And we could be talking about all of these things. And it's like, yeah, we have all these dreams and these desires of things that we would want. But when it comes down to our finances and getting ourselves really rolling with having this abundance, and even once you have an abundance of money, there still has to be mindfulness there, because I know we mentioned this on a
Totally.
previous episode, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you can also spend more than that, right? So it really is about that mindfulness piece around it. And just to mention one other thing from what you said, it's like really in this topic, I'm assuming everybody is here because they're ready to take that radical responsibility for themselves and their own behaviors and their own actions and what got them to this place so that they can get them out of it. Because we can put blame outside of ourselves on the banks and this and that and everything outside of ourselves. But really, the only way that we're going to get ourselves moving forward in any area of life, including finances, is really when we start really owning how we've showed up, whether it's conditioned beliefs that we've picked up from our family, wherever we kind of picked up these habits and stuff, like really taking that radical responsibility for ourselves. So I'm glad that you mentioned that right at the start as well.
Yeah, that's really powerful because the reality is that we learn our money habits mostly from our parents, who learned it from their parents. And if we were never taught how to manage our money, it's you have to figure it out for yourself. It can be a very daunting process. So absolutely.
And the ego always wants to be
So
right as well. So it's like checking the ego and being like, okay, I have a lot to learn in this area, right? Or else I would be where I
yes.
actually want to be. So yeah, I just wanted to kind of share that in there before we continue moving on with all of the other amazing stuff we're
Yeah.
going to be chatting about.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's like you can start anywhere. And I think one really good way to start is just understanding how a credit card actually works, which might sound silly. You're like, I know how it works. I buy
Tap,
something,
and
I
then you
put
have
on my
money.
credit card. Right? And then you're like, you're paying interest on it if you don't pay it off right away. But if I were to say, Laura, you want to buy this pair of shoes, and today you can pay an extra 20% for this pair of shoes. Lucky you. Would you do it? You probably wouldn't buy the shoes, right? Because you're like, why would I pay 20% more than what they actually cost? So, like, let me break that down a little bit better. So, say that you bought an item that was $100, but because the interest on your credit card, on average, they're about 20% annual. So basically, over the year, you pay 20%, and it's breaking up a little bit every single month. So if you don't pay off that item, that means you actually pay $120 for that item, which means that you're paying extra for every single thing that you buy. You're like, oh, but it was a good deal. But not really if you're gonna have to pay interest on it. So it's something that we don't really think about when we're making those actual transactions. Like we might know, we're like, hey, I have to pay interest, but are we really thinking like, what is the actual cost of this item to buy it? So I think that unfortunately, sometimes credit cards can be a trap, right? I don't think it's really a secret, but most companies that have credit cards that whether it's like a department store or like a financial institution, they want you to stay in debt. Why? Because the longer that you stay in debt, the more money that they make. So they have no financial interest to teach you how to get out of debt. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. There's billions of dollars made just from interest alone, just crazy.
And I
So
know here too,
once
it's
you
like it's super accessible. Like you can get a PC Mac credit card, you can get like a Canadian Tire credit card, you can get this credit card. And it's like they're really, like you said, there isn't any education on that, but it's so easily accessible over here. It's wild. And I just want to share too, when you shared about the 20% interest, I never really clued in that it was an annual thing. And it may even be a good practice, and you can share this as well, that like knowing the timeline of what you're paying it off, because if you have a credit card and you're like, okay, I know that this purchase I'm really like wanting to do, add the 20% on right away. And you're like, if it takes me a year to pay this off, this is the amount that I'm going to pay for it. Is this something that I'm okay with doing? Because like you said,
Totally.
it is an amazing way to be able to have that money. However, it's not the ideal way, right? Like we want to have the emergency funds so we don't ever have to do this. But just kind of like knowing and making those conscious decisions, I feel are the best. But I know we talked about in the previous episode, in episode two, I believe, about having that emergency fund so that you never even have to go into that situation around having a credit card and having to worry about that 20%, because 20% is a lot tacked on to
It's a
a
lot.
thing. Yeah.
That's a fifth of the cost.
Yeah.
Like, it's a small fraction, right? And so I think that is really important to really think about and just be aware of. Because what happens is when you get into the habit of carrying a balance, your interest can cause a huge problem because it starts to increase the balance that you owe. So your balance is never really decreasing unless you're making pretty large payments onto your credit card. Like for example, if you're just paying the minimum payments, you like I would I actually looked at my credit card. I'm like, I really want to see. So you're just paying a little bit more than the interest, right? So really, it's not helping you get further ahead by just paying the minimum payments, unless you have a strategy, which we'll kind of talk about, because there are times where you should pay the minimum amount, but it's like knowing the process and knowing the plan. So making sure that you're in the habit of paying it off consistency, like my partner has a credit card, but he pays it off every single month. He's like, it's all about the points. We're gonna talk a little bit about the points. I have a lot to say about that. But, he pays it off regularly, so it's not an issue. But if you're not paying it off regularly, that interest is gonna build and build and build, and just makes your balance bigger and bigger and bigger, which makes it harder and harder to pay off, right? Another thing about credit cards that a lot of people are not aware of is something that's called credit insurance or balance protection. I get really passionate about this area because a lot of the times these products get tacked onto our credit cards and we don't even know about it. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about how it works. Again, I just want to give you some information today, but let me kind of explain how that works. So with credit insurance, the idea is if you were to pass away, the credit card company will pay off your balance of your credit card, which in theory you're like, sweet. A couple challenges. One is it's not proper insurance in the sense that your family doesn't get anything. The bank or whoever that person is that's the credit card company is just covering themselves, right? So your family doesn't benefit by getting a lump sum. The other thing is they do what's called post-claim underwriting. So what happens is you get this credit insurance and you pay for it month after month for forever if you really want, right? But there's no real medical. They don't do a blood or urine sample. So what happens is after you pass away, they go back into your medical history to see if you actually qualified for that insurance to pay out, which is bananas, in my opinion, right? So you want to make sure that you understand how these products work. I had a client recently that they were paying $88 a month in credit insurance and wasn't even aware of it. And so many times this is on your credit card or your line of credit, and we're not aware of it. So I highly recommend to see if it's something that you have and to check out the resource. It's CBC Marketplace. There's a YouTube video. I like to use third-party credibility, and it's about mortgage insurance, but it works the exact same way. And so check it out because it's a credible source that kind of explains how these products actually work. Typically, what I like is using term insurance because this will go to your family if you were to pass away, and they can use it to pay off different things the way that they want to. And it's more of a guaranteed product. Of course, you have to be careful in terms of the type of life insurance you get, but there's a lot of different options to get an insurance that has higher percentage payout rates than these kinds of insurance. So, again, every product is different. Just want to educate. But something that you should look into if you are paying for it, really find out if it's a product that's going to be working well for you. And so, another topic I want to talk about is my absolute favorite around credit cards, and it's breaking up with your credit card. So, I love this. I think I talked about this on a different episode. I just started doing this just over a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit more now. But it's stop like I stopped using my credit card as much as I could. I have some automated payments that like they have to do it on a credit card for what reason, I don't know. But I use my credit card very little. So what that means is I only use my debit or cash. And I found this to be so freeing. It was so weird at first because I'm like subconsciously like, do I have enough money? Guess what? I was putting money from my bank account to my credit card every single month anyways. It was just a cycle of moving money around, which doesn't really make a lot of sense when we think about it.
I
If
feel
you're
like there's
paying off
like an
your credit card
unconscious thing with that. Like even thinking for myself, like when I use my credit card, it's like it feels nice to not be paying for it right now. And I think
Yeah,
it's
that's
just
really
like a, it's
interesting,
just like
right?
a thing where it's like, oh, well, I know I'm not paying for it right now, so it feels like feels lighter.
Yeah,
I don't know if
absolutely.
anybody
It's
else
like,
feels that way with it, but just let me know in the comments if anybody else resonates with that. But
we've been, excuse me, we've been trained almost to use our credit cards like instead of our debit cards. Like, that's what they want us to do. Like, they spend a lot of money on marketing, but it's so freeing when you stop using that credit card. And I'm like, oh, debit. I feel so rich, right? Like, I feel so good. I'm using my debit card, right? But it's like, if you're paying off your credit card anyways, like, you obviously have the money to be able to do that. And even if you're like, oh, I'm not really in that position where like I'm using my credit card kind of as like a means to an end, then just do it as much as you can to start to get that habit. Breaking up your credit card honestly will be a game changer. So I honestly think like the points are another trap, right? They are like, oh, use your credit card to get the points, right? But you can get some good things, you know, you can use those points to get like products or trips or I don't know, like there's cash back.
Tons of
There's
stuff,
a lot of different things now that you can get with your credit cards. But if you really want to make a huge difference in your finances, screw the points. Don't worry about the points, at least for a time being, till you can get on track, right?
Build the proper
Because
habits.
if you keep use right? If you keep using your credit card, that amount is just going to get bigger and bigger and more overwhelming and overwhelming. It's going to be really stressful. So take even a period of time where you stop using your credit card and only use your debit. And you can use the points actually to pay off some of that debt, depending on your credit card. Like I said, everyone's different. Like, there's so many different things. But like for myself, I was actually able to pay off $1,800 on my credit card just by using my points, which is pretty significant, right?
Huge.
So just allowing yourself to take a step and moving ahead. It might feel uncomfortable, but I promise you're gonna feel way more free afterwards. So I want to share a little bit about the solution of how do I even get out of debt? Because like that's great. Like, you can stop using your credit card, but that alone isn't going to make the debt go away. So there's two different ways that I like to be able to pay off your debt faster. One is called debt snowballing. The other one is called debt avalanching. We're going to attach the link to Dave Ramsey's calculator for debt snowballing so you can kind of see what that looks like for yourself. But let me explain the difference between the two. So snowballing allows you to pay the smallest balance first so you can free up cash flow, which then that cash flow you can start putting towards your other debts. Avalanching, it takes a different approach because you're paying the highest interest first to pay that down. So it really depends on your personal situation. I like to use a combo of the two. So let me show you what that looks like. So the program that I like is called actually debt stacking. Again, they're all kind of similar, but each situation is going to be a little bit different. So it really does depend on your current situation, whether you should use debt stacking, debt snowballing, debt avalanching, right? And you never know the answer until you're actually running the numbers. It's literally just math. So we have an algorithm that we use that allows us to do debt stacking. And it's kind of like a combination of the two. Sometimes it's smallest balance first to free up cash flow. Sometimes it's highest interest first. It really depends. But let me show you how it works. So our algorithm said this is the order we should pay off these debts. So you have, you know, a couple credit cards, a car loan, another credit card, and a mortgage, right? So you always want to pay at least the minimum payments on all of them. But once you have the order of paying them off, you put the extra money that you have onto the top of the list. Okay? This total is $2,700, and the minimum payment is, you know, say like $2,500. So that means I have an extra $220 that I'm paying towards my debt. instead of dividing that amongst all of my debts, I'm going to take that 220 and pay it just onto the first one, the retail card in this case. Okay. So then what I do is after that first retail card is paid off, I'm not going to say like, great, I have an extra $220 to work back in my budget. No, we're going to take that 220 and we're going to put it on to the credit card number two. So we were paying $353 on credit card number two. Now, because the first credit card is gone, we've paid it off. We now can put it on here. We have $573 we can put towards that. And you kind of continue the cycle. You're still paying the $2,700 throughout the whole time. But as you pay off debt, it allows you to put more and more money as you get towards the bottom of the list. So it's a really great strategy to make sure that you can pay off your debt first. So I want to share with you a client of mine because this strategy had literally changed her life. So she had about $102,000 in debt. And based off the calculations, she would be in debt for over 100 years. Like the strategy she's using just wasn't working. Like she had tried different things. And often what I hear from my clients is like, oh, I knew I could do something, but I couldn't quite figure it out. And that's okay because you weren't taught it in school, right? But with this strategy of debt stacking, we actually dropped it down to 5 years and 1 month that she'll get out of debt, which is so exciting because she told me, she was like, I felt so overwhelmed and I didn't know what to do and I don't feel that way anymore. And it could re really help you release some of that negative emotion once you have a strategy in place. So there's different ways to do it. I'm more than happy to connect. If you're like just want like a free debt plan, we can definitely do that because this is one thing you can do to help you propel in other areas as well. Help you spin both of those plates of paying off debt and, starting to invest in and save an emergency fund as well. So I found it really freeing and it really helped me simplify my life when I broke up with my credit card. And it's the same thing with like this debt stacking. I found a lot of people just feel more free and they feel like they have a solution. And Laura, I know that you have a really amazing story too around your debt. Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Well, when I look at debt, and this is from my experience, and I will share that, but when it comes to debt, chances are if we're using our credit card and it's getting out of hand, either we're kind of either not bringing in enough money or we're spending too much, right? And so in that second episode, Kristen provided some strategies on how to be able to cut down on your spending and be more intentional on the spending so that you could really like cut that back so that you have more flow to be able to then pay towards your credit card. Or there's also that thing about being able to bring in more income. Because when I first switched into my own business, I went from working as a paramedic. So I had a solid income coming in. Like I was making really great money coming in every single 2 weeks. I think it was actually every week that I was getting paid because it was two services that I was working in. And my whole life always receiving these paychecks because I was working as an employee. And so when I shifted from that into being an entrepreneur, I didn't gradually do it. So I didn't have this stable income. I sold real estate and stuff like that. So I had money there. However, I didn't change my actual spending habits. So over those years when I was kind of transitioning from being in my role as a paramedic, where I had all of that lucrative money coming in, to then transitioning into my own business, like I didn't have these financial skills to be able to then cut back on the stuff that I really didn't need. I was making a lot of emotional purchases and impulsive purchases. All of them, like there was value to them because it brought me forward in my business. However, looking back, there was definitely stuff that I could have been like, no, I could put this as a 3-year plan. You know, I could put this as a down the road type thing that I kind of invested into and stuff like that. And so when it comes to our own individual kind of circumstances around credit cards and debt and stuff like that, like really being able to see kind of where we can either cut back on our spending that we're putting out or be able to start bringing in those new income streams, because we do have so many opportunities online and even just in general, where we don't really have to be spending our or trading our time for money anymore. So we can either pick up another job if we want, or we can start bringing in other streams of income to start kind of creating that flow. And I found it really valuable with working with Kristen because it gave me that structure, like you said, and like learning these, like you guys are like learning this stuff from this series, which I'm so grateful that Kristen's decided to come on here and share all of this stuff, because I know it's changed my life in so many ways. And I hope that what you're kind of receiving from these videos are you're beginning to start seeing how this could kind of implement into your own life to kind of start moving yourself forward in different ways, because there's many different strategies, many different ways of doing things. And it really is like just wrapping your head around it and getting excited about how you want to do it that really does bring like the most value to it. So
I think also I really love how you said the way that you want to do it, because if it's a plan that you can resonate with, you're going to follow it through.
100%.
You know, if you have no reason as to why you should do this, you probably won't follow through with the plan and you'll end up being back in debt, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a really good way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I ended up doing like a combination of things, like with Kristen and also doing a consumer proposal to be able to knock down some of the debt that I accumulated over that time. And for me, that was what worked best for me. Obviously, there's different things that I had to take into consideration with that when it comes to my credit score and stuff like that. But there are so many different options for us, because I know that like credit card debt can suck when you're in a cycle where you're just like, maybe you're working as many hours as you possibly can in your days and your weeks, and you've got kids and this and that, and the money just isn't coming in, and you have these expenses, like things are not cheap to be able to do, like live life the way that maybe we've been conditioned or used to living our life, right? So it's definitely not a one size fits all thing. So it's definitely individual to each person what's going to be the best for you to get out of your credit card debt. But we hope that with this episode, you can really see that it is possible for absolutely anybody to get out of it. Doesn't matter how much debt you have with your credit card. Like there's definitely strategies and ways, and even just the support, you know, like having the emotional support there, being like, you know what, like you're going to move through this, whether it takes you a couple months to pay off your debt, whether it takes you a year, whether it takes you like 3, 4, 5 years, it doesn't matter, because it's like having that plan in place.
I think another thing to consider is if you're in a partnership, is what your partner's habits are as well. Because I've seen situations where one person is really great at saving and the other one is not. And typically it slides to the negative side rather than to the positive side. So in terms of having that support, like having open communication with your partner and what your goals are, and helping them like work through a strategy together could really help make sure that you're able to kind of get through this. Because if one person continues spending and the other one's saving and paying for these habits, that can be a pretty bad cycle to get into as well. And I'm sure there's a lot around mindset with that too, Laura, that you may be able to touch on maybe even in another episode. But I think that's something to just like be aware of, is like when you talk about support, is like having maybe somebody like a financial coach that can help you, but also having whoever has, you know, opinions or touches your finance, like in your personal life, having that their support as well.
100%. Yeah. Is that something that you do with people, is that you have it where they both come on the call with you to be able to go over this stuff?
Yeah. So it's really funny. I laugh because a lot of the times I don't like to meet with couples unless they're both there. And some people find that a little bit frustrating, which I can understand. And like, you know, if I can't get both of them together, I will meet with just one. But a lot of times when you're talking about finance, you're talking about your household finance. Like the way I look at it is like, if my partner was talking about my finances with somebody without me there, I'd be pretty freaking annoyed, right? I wouldn't be very happy about it. So it's one, it's like kind of a bit of a respect thing where I want them to be part of the conversation. But two is like, to have a fluent plan, you need to have both people part of that strategy. So if your partner is just not going to be on board and you want to have a plan, then definitely like I would meet with them. But ideally, you do want to have both of them there because it's a conversation between all of us, right?
Yeah, 100%. No, I
yeah,
love
good
that.
question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so we have to kind of wrap up this episode, we have some invitations for you. And so this homework is always an invitation. So the first one is to check your credit card and line of credit statements to see if you are paying for credit insurance or balance protection, and educate yourself on what exactly that means, whether it is something that is of value for you, whether you are covered with it by, say, term insurance or life insurance, where you're kind of doing both and there's no point of doing both, you know? I know even for that in the beginning, when I first got my credit card, when I was younger, I was paying for that for quite some time because I just agreed with things. I was like, yeah, sure. Like somebody said, when I got it at the bank, they said that that would be a great thing. I'm like, sure, you know, but I never really got educated on what it was. So I was paying for it for quite some time before I canceled it. Right. So just checking to see if that is something you have.
Another thing, I'll just add a quick note before you go through the rest of the homework, is if you do have credit insurance and you are planning to cancel it, sometimes you can call the institution. If you like, if they put it on and you didn't even know you had it, you can call them and say, I want a refund for the money that I've spent on this. And some institutions will do that for you. Some are like, too bad. But some will
I had
give
that
you a
happen
refund. So that,
and they refunded it for me.
Yes, I love that, right? So that puts more money into your pocket too, that you can take that money they refund you and put it onto your credit card.
Sure,
so we win.
There definitely has to be more education around the things that you're doing. And also like at that point too, like I wasn't, like, looking back, I'm like, I could have taken ownership for that and asked more questions to understand what I was agreeing to as well. So it is kind of that balance between the institutions not educating, but then us not really being empowered and asking questions as well. It's kind of in our conditioning as well, where it's like, sit down, be the quiet one, don't ask too many questions, don't bother people. So it's very ingrained into us to not, like, be as forward in asking these questions to make these decisions and be critical thinkers. So it is kind of the balance between those,
yeah,
but definitely
it's a good
something.
point.
Check that out. Next invitation is to find out whether you can use points to pay off your card. I thought that was brilliant when Kristen said that. I was like, oh my goodness. For many years, I was saving up for all these trips and all of this stuff. And it was like, man, if you could just take that lump sum and then pay it off toward your card and then take that money and then start saving it so that you can do the travel anyway, you know, or get your habits under control so you can use your credit card in a manageable way where you're paying it off every single month to be able to do that, then there's many ways around that. So the second one is to see if you can use your points to be able to pay off some of your card. The next one is, if you're open to it, commit to using your debit card and your cash and no longer using that credit card, you know, even taking it out of your wallet, you know, if it's not there or if it's not on your Apple Pay to just simply tap, then you won't be able to. So it's just that getting rid of the accessibility of it so that you don't fall into that habit that you've kind of created. So you can start reprogramming a different way of being for yourself that feels better to you. And if you're open to it, you can also do some more research on debt snowballing, debt avalanching. You can book a call with somebody like Kristen to be able to help you to determine what is the best one. And I know when I did it with Kristen as well, it didn't really make sense logically to me the way that it worked, but the algorithms know the percentages and all of this stuff. So it really puts it in a way that is the best for you. So it is a really great idea to be able to do that. And leaving this episode, like, what are two action steps that you see would be valuable for you to get on top of your credit card? And we would love to support you in that. So if you want to comment that down below, we can cheer you on along that journey. And we're super grateful that you're here with us. Anything else, Kristen?
No, I think that's it. I'm just so glad that we could just provide some of that insight around credit cards and maybe some strategies to help you battle those credit cards. And I'd love to hear in the comments what you got most out of this episode.
Amazing. And we will see you on the next one. Thanks so much, Kristen. Thanks so much, everybody that's here with us. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.